exiting empire, invited by Sarmatians, and thwarted by the Thracians, Scythian Empire, exiting Empire, thwarted by the Thracians, and thwarted by the Scythian Empire, exiting Empire, invited by Sarmatians and thwarted by the Thracians, exiting Empire. The kings of Macedonia, the Scythian Empire. Kings of Macedonia, the Scythian Empire.
Wow, I really enjoyed that.
Likewise.
Who wrote that?
Andrew Bird.
Andrew Bird.
Yeah. Phenomenal violin, guitar, and stuff, composer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Can you introduce yourself again? I wrote down your name, but I lost my glasses.
Jimmy Pardo.
Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah.
Right on. We talked about at the last break a bit about you enjoying waking up here, and some other people talked about Occupy Portland being bigger than the physical space, and if the tents cleared out, it would still go on. Do you agree with that?
I do. A lot of the people I've met here, if I see them later on, just the fact that we were here and that we were able to do already what has been done here in solidarity with the rest of the world, not just, the U.S. anymore, is huge.
Well, what has been done? I mean, you built community, or you just felt happy to be here, or what happened?
Let's see. It's kind of hard to say because there's about 10 different faces of this entire movement, one of them being basic needs where people are being fed. In Portland, there's a good size homeless population that really just lives in the shadows. They don't have, they just kind of do what they can to, live downtown or to make ends meet. And for those that want to actually, feed energy into their existence, they're here and there's jobs. That was kind of one of the main pull originally was, hey, we got jobs over here,
Right.
And, which is awesome. Anyone that wants to volunteer to serve food or to wash dishes, the food tent is really awesome because there's no arguing about dishes or feeding people. It's very simple.
You don't get that. It's not my night to wash the dishes.
Right, right. It's just hey, I ate food from here for free. Am I, and you feed your own energy. You wash dishes and you meet people that are doing the same stuff, and then you have the medic tents that are. There's a constant line on the medic tents.
Have you been there yourself? You know what they're giving out?
Yeah. They got everything from basic stuff. I even took a hurt pigeon there the other day.
No kidding. And it helped out the hurt pigeon.
Yeah. I started imagining this place without the financial monoliths, if you will. And we would probably take care of all the animals that are around here as well. I think that's another aspect of it. But it's kind of holistic. It's not just, these things don't translate to government. They don't translate to mainstream. Because they don't hold any weight in their world, and that's the part that we don't want. You know, we want a holistic world. We want to be able to engage or talk to the folks that we walk by instead of feeling this, you know.
Yeah, that's one thing that's confusing me, really, is that somehow you're right. It doesn't engage, well, Wall Street or the 1%. So how does it invoke change then?
Right. I think when people walk through here, the other day, and, you know, daytime and nighttime is completely different here.
I stay two nights, and I really realize that some people ought not to be by themselves on the street, and yet they are.
Right.
And it was sad and frankly frightening to me.
Yeah, it's a very dark underworld, you know, this kind of like what happens at night and the rulers of the night, I guess, if you will. Like, there's people that just impose their will on those that are helpless or, you know, needing help. And yeah. So it's awesome to have a massive amount of compassionate people. That really is the key word of this whole thing, is compassion. I want to live in a world where there's compassion. And when I walk a few blocks away, you can see how there is none, or it's disappeared, or it's subdued. And when I walk into these chaotic park blocks that are, you know, being occupied, I feel compassion, you know? From everyone, like from even the people that are like going a little wild. I woke up 7 in the morning the other day, and this complete stranger who was a little, you know, a little edgy, he was like, "Hey, give me a hug." And I was like, "Yeah, all right." And I gave him a big hug.
I hugged that guy. He didn't have a shirt on. He was kind of skinny.
Probably.
I picked him up.
It could have been that guy. It could have been anybody here.
It could have been anyone. That's the case.
Yeah. And I don't know. I know. I just want to be able to live in a world that is that promotes compassion, and that's what this place is about, and it's awesome. And it's organized, and there, like I said, there's 10 different faces. I know maybe about 3 of them intimately.
Yeah.
The rest of them, there's, you know, the GA process. There's the, you know, people that are working outside of the occupation movement on social networks to, you know, the media tents and whatnot, and a lot of stuff going on.
Compassion for everyone. It sounds like revolution to me.
Yeah.
You got another song for us, brother?
Ooh, let's see. Oh man. You know, let me think. I got a little something. I'll jam something. Fill the airwaves with something. Here we go. Actually, yeah. Let me know when you're ready to go. And unpack the weights from your bag you were never gonna show. Schools of fish follow underneath our boat. Water flows in the rivers, but not the moat. Caravaggio always had something to show. Painted a path of which way not to go. door of a cage. Said even when you open the door of a cage, the bird inside is still so afraid. Oh, the dance it does inside shows it's already saved. So let me know when you're ready to go. And unpack the weights from your bag, you were never gonna show.
Yeah, Jimmy, thanks for that. Who was that by now?
I wrote that one.
You wrote that one?
Yeah.
That's the stuff. You needn't be shy, brother.
Hey, thank you.
The lyrics were awesome.
Thank you so much.
The water flows in the river, not the moat.
Right. You know,
the lyrics are real brainy.
Yeah, I try. That's an inspiration from Andrew Bird. He makes me think. Yeah, so it kind of makes me map my, or try to, you know, think it, look into my my mind, in my ocean, a little deeper, if you will.
Well done. Well done. It makes me think I ought to listen to something other than Bob Dylan.
No, Dylan's great.
Yeah.
Dylan's awesome. I just thought.
I mean, over and over again.
That's kind of what I do with Andrew Bird.
Right? Oh, right now.
Yeah.
Thanks for saying that. I feel better already. I've been asking a lot of my guests to trace out a little bit of their own life, how they got here. We've come from so many different directions, and I think you voiced one of the common themes that what brings us together is being together and just forming this community. I talked to a man who's 91 years old, who's in the Air Force, he's born in Iowa, and so forth. I just wanted to ask you if you'd be so kind as to say a little something about your own life, how you ended up here today.
Sure, yeah. I'm originally from San Antonio, Texas, and let's just flash through a lot of stuff.
You were born, apparently.
Yeah, I was born. That was cool. I was in the military for a short while.
Were you after high school? Or?
After high school, yep. The recruiters were waiting for me at the end of that.
Well, playing sports or something? Or how'd they know?
I was in an alternative center. That's how they knew. Okay. They were like, ooh.
Alternative in what way?
Let's see. I was in high school. I just didn't really, I wasn't really jiving with the system, if you will.
It's not for everybody, brother.
Yeah. It was, and then Texas is just a unique place. I love Texas, but it's a unique place, to say the least.
Everybody needs a challenge.
Yeah, and that's really that perspective of Texas and being in Portland. That's why I love it so much, is because I know, I know Texas, and Portland is a unique place, and that's one of the reasons I occupy, is because in Texas, it is I mean, the weather doesn't really work in their favor, for one. Their people are primed, you know, to be angry.
Maybe so.
Because it's just hot.
Maybe so.
But the other thing is just that minimum wage. I don't know what it is, what it's at now, but at the time that I was thinking about this, it was $5.25 minimum wage. And so you have just a ton of, you know, corporations. You got Walmart and auto places because you can't go anywhere without a car. And I don't know. When I go to Texas, after being in Portland a while, I realize that the people there are kind of trapped in their minds, if not in their real world. They're like, there's some outlets, but it's just, there's not a lot of, you don't see as many street musicians, for one. There's not a lot of art, aside from, you know, really traditional art.
Yeah. I came from Chicago myself, and I remember when I first came out here, I was struck at how happy people were. Just the, if you run into somebody on the street, there's a much higher chance that they're going to be happy.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, in San Antonio, it's,
it's too hot.
It's hot. It's that's really the bottom line. And I think that's where, I don't know, we decided to build these permanent structures all over the place. And, you know, you remember those people? Those they were here before us. What were they? Those Native Americans. You remember those guys? Yeah, those guys. They had it right. Yeah. You know, they'd move around because they knew the climate was changing, and that's what's happening now. We have climate change, and every summer in Texas, it is hotter and hotter and hotter. Yeah. And people are truly concerned for the people that are actually willing to face the climate change reality.
Yeah.
Sadly, there are many that do not. They're just like. Yeah.
It's hard to know what's going to happen there when the air conditioning shuts off. So how long were you in the military then? What branch?
I was the active army. I was in for about 2 years, and I was a armored recon scout, and I drove a Bradley. And I was in between wars, got discharged like maybe 6 months before my unit got deployed to Iraq. And that's a big driving force, I guess, in my life, because I somewhat understand the sacrifice that is made on a daily basis, you know, and the unfortunate part is the use of our military. You know, I know that I heard Obama is going to be pulling troops out of Iraq by the end of the year, this year, and that they're also sending special forces to Uganda to deal with Joseph Kony and the army of kidnapped children. That has been long awaited. So,
2 years in the army. Do you get benefits from that?
I do not. I was I got a general discharge. It was a good paper, but no benefits, no Montgomery GI Bill or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, which I'm all right with mostly.
What happened next then, Jimmy?
Let's see. Travel.
Yeah.
I went to the beautiful Yosemite National Park.
Right on. Where'd you pick up guitar?
That would start my neighbor Brandon Bolero.
Uh-huh.
Kid friend that, you know, I grew up with.
Right on.
He taught me, and his family was Native American, and really rubbed off on me as far as like music and philosophy and just taking care of the land.
How'd you land in Portland then?
I was working in the Grand Canyon, met a really awesome mentor, Jason Denies, we worked in Zion National Park. And he just, after hanging out with him for a while, he was like, you'd really love Portland.
All right.
You know, and he'd lived here before. And so we got it. Yeah, we came over here, and I fell in love. And Portland's amazing. It's like a magical rose. You know? Yeah. It teaches a lot, and I've learned so much.
Well, finding a good mentor is also a special gift.
Yeah. Yeah, very rare. It doesn't happen very often. And when it does, you're very lucky because... You know, you're not guaranteed anything in this life, much less someone that might know a thing or two.
Yeah. You got another song in there, maybe one that you wrote yourself?
Yeah, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah. How you hearing those loops okay?
has a message that you and I really do need. Wiser, older souls, never let it go. Hopes for new family. That they pay for such sacrifice. It's true they pay with their lives. Coins that they pay for such sacrifice. And it feels like nails we drive. That they pay for such sacrifice. It's okay to cry. An American died, killing roaches and flies.
Jimmy, thanks for that one. You got one more in here for us?
You know, let's see. I got a short bit of Andrew Bird. How about that?
That'd be awesome. Let me ask you, though, first, before you start, is where can people find your music? Are you online at all? Or getting that together still?
I have some online. Reverb Nation, Jimmy Pardo. Reverb Nation, and then sure, just Jimmy Pardo. I should find some stuff.
We'll come down to Occupy Portland.
Yeah, totally.
All right, thanks for one more.
Out on the tarmac, boom, boom, 16 tons of hazmat, and he can't stand to look back, 16 tons of hazmat. Exercise yourself till you're bereft. It's a nervous tick motion of the head to the left of the what? The head to the... So exercise yourself till you're bereft. You're bereft. It's a nervous tick motion of the head to the left. Thank you.
Yeah, Jimmy, that's the stuff. Thanks for sharing your music, man.
No problem. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your ideas. I really like the one about, you know, basically demonstrating to ourselves or demonstrating we don't need the corporate power.
Yeah.
We're doing it here. Yeah. Anything else you want to tell our listeners before you take off?
I would like to say to the listeners that you guys are wonderful, and I can't wait to see you guys down here. If you haven't been down here, you should come by because it's probably one of the greatest sights I've seen in a long time. There's free food,
which is actually excellent.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's Food Not Bombs as well, so they're serving vegan. But there's tons of stuff to do. If you want to volunteer, they definitely could. They definitely have roles for people to fill. But it's just it's a good thing to see. It's kind of like living near Woodstock and not going. You know, it's like for the people that didn't go to Woodstock, you know, in '69, and wish they did. Don't be that person.
Come on down.
Yeah,
compassion is the solution. Thanks again, Jimmy. We're gonna go to some pre-recorded stuff from Occupy Wall Street earlier this week. Thanks for listening, everybody.